Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Tonight we talk about the Lord's Prayer. The biggest question I think that probably surrounds the Lord's Prayer, perhaps you've not thought of it this way before, is it just the Lord's Prayer? That is it just a prayer that Jesus taught us to use? Or is it in fact our prayer as well as the Lord's Prayer? Did Jesus intend Christians to really pray this prayer? Is this the perfect prayer if it comes from Jesus himself? We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer tonight on Issues Etc. It's Sunday night, August the 6th. I want to hear from you on the Lord's Prayer as well. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Anyone who calls or emails us with a question or a comment about the Lord's Prayer tonight will receive a free pamphlet called What About the Lord's Prayer? 1-800-730-2727 or our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Joining us tonight to talk about the Lord's Prayer, Pastor Peter Bender. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and he's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Pastor Bender, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Good to be with you tonight.
Well, let's start with the perfect aspect of this prayer. Seeing as it comes from Jesus himself, is the Lord's Prayer, as we find it there in Scripture, the perfect prayer?
I think you already answered the question. It came from our Lord Jesus. That's why it is called the Lord's Prayer. It's found in two places in the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, in the Sermon on the Mount, and in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. In Luke, chapter 11, that particular entry of the Lord's Prayer is prefaced by a question that the disciples asked Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, as John, the baptizer, also taught his disciples. So Jesus said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven, and so forth. And in those words of Jesus, in answering the disciples' question, he gives them the very words to pray, the very words of God to pray. So when we pray the prayer that our Lord gave us to pray, it cannot be anything else but the perfect prayer, since it came from him and since it is God's word.
How would you respond, Pastor, to someone who says, look, I understand that Jesus gave his disciples this prayer, but come on, it cannot be as spiritual or as spirit-led as the prayer from my heart, spontaneous prayer in the hour of need, one that comes straight from inside me?
Well, I would say a couple of things. First, surely Christians can pray with words other than the exact wording of the Lord's Prayer. And we do it all of the time. When we pray the Psalms, those are prayers. When we say other petitions that are based on God's Word, that is certainly prayer. But just because someone kind of speaks off the cuff, however their emotions might lead them, does not necessarily mean that that is a more spiritual prayer. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. So in order for a prayer to be a spiritual prayer, it has to be from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works through God's Word. Jesus made this abundantly clear in his, what is sometimes called the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, on the night in which he was betrayed. He prays for his disciples, and repeatedly throughout that prayer in John chapter 17, he is talking to the Father, that the Father would keep the disciples in the Word that he gave them. And what's interesting is the first petition in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, in John 17:12, that high priestly prayer, Jesus says, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. And then he goes on to say, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And so that's how the disciples came to faith. It is how we come to faith, by the Word and Spirit of God. And wherever the Word of God is taken up in faith in addressing God, that is a true spiritual prayer.
The Lord's Prayer begins, and sometimes it even goes by the name, the Our Father, but it begins, Our Father who art in heaven. What does this mean, Pastor Bender?
Well, this is such a rich text. Martin Luther said, with these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that he is our true Father and that we are his true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask him, as dear children ask their dear father. The pronoun our there indicates that Jesus, who gave us the prayer, is for the Christian our brother. We are baptized into him, we believe in him and trust in him, and his relationship that he has with God the Father, God the Son, shares with us as our brother, and we are joined to him in this prayer. And God the Father is inviting us through this very promise to trust in him as dear children trust their dear father.
The first thing we ask of our Heavenly Father, as Jesus instructs us to do, Pastor Bender, is, Hallowed be thy name, which sounds archaic. It doesn't only sound archaic, it probably is. What does this first petition mean?
The name of God is always a shorthand in Holy Scripture for all of the teachings of God's Word. You see this throughout the book of Acts, for example, that the apostles are preaching in Jesus' name. And they're preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, as Jesus himself instructed them to do in Luke chapter 24. And they're preaching that from the sacred scriptures of the Old and New Testament. So the name of God is always wrapped up with the teachings of God's Word. So when Jesus instructs us to pray, Hallowed be thy name, he's instructing us to pray for all those who teach us God's Word, and for us who hear God's Word, that we might live our lives according to it, that we might trust in it, that we might believe in all that God is teaches us. Martin Luther answered the question that God's name is kept holy when the Word of God is taught in its truth and purity, and we, as the children of God, also lead holy lives according to it.
So this is more than just acknowledging that God's name is holy, kind of an ascription of holiness to God. This is a genuine and first-tier request of our Heavenly Father, something more than simply, well, we acknowledge that you are a holy God and that your name ought to be kept holy.
God's name is holy whenever God's Word is taught faithfully and whenever people hear it and believe it and trust in it and live according to it. And so those are the things for which we're praying in the Lord's Prayer, even as Jesus did in the high priestly prayer, when he prays that they would be kept in the word that he himself had given them.
With only a minute before this break, talk a bit about the second thing Jesus instructs us to ask for in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come.
The kingdom of God, what is it? Some people think of the kingdom of God on earth as like any other earthly kingdom made up of a political power and so forth. But in the New Testament, God's kingdom comes wherever God works faith in the hearts and lives of people. So, and wherever he gives the Holy Spirit, who bestows faith through the word of the gospel. So in this second petition, thy kingdom come, our Heavenly Father, we're praying that he would give us his Holy Spirit so that by his grace we believe his word and trust in it.
And this, to ask that this kingdom would come, is it simply that we would have faith, or is there more to it, with only 30 seconds here?
Well, the kingdom of God includes not only faith in the here and now, but certainly we are praying that our Lord would come again, even as he promised, and deliver us from this veil of tears, from the struggles with sin and with death and with the power of Satan, and that he would give us the fullness of the victory that he won for us in his death upon the cross.
Folks, if you have a question or a comment on the Lord's Prayer, that's our topic for tonight on Issues Etc. Give us a call, 1-800-730-0930. 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or email us right here in the studio at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest as we talk about the Lord's Prayer. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. He's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. That number again, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. When we come back, we're talking about Thy Kingdom Come in the Lord's Prayer. What about Thy Will Be Done on Earth as it is in Heaven? Stay tuned. Todd Wilkin here, talking with Dr. Dean Wenthe, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Wenthe, tell us about Concordia Theological Seminary as a worldwide outreach.
We have, at latest count, about 23 different countries represented on our campus. We have a full-time staff member teaching in Lithuania, another in Siberia, and then our resident faculty teaches regularly in Kenya, in Haiti. We just recently received an invitation to teach in Madagascar. So our commitment is to be a light on the hill and to broadcast the light of Christ into all the world.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit them on the web at www.ctsfw.edu.
Grace, faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc. This allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are three levels of giving. The confessor, $25 monthly or an annual gift of $250. The apologist, $50 monthly or an annual gift of $500. And the reformer, $100 monthly or an annual gift of $1,000. Now, each Reformation Club member receives premiums like monthly tapes, books, and transcripts. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club today by making a gift payable to Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. By credit card, our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172, or online, issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club. Next week on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss Islam with Dr. Ergun Kaner of Liberty University. Is Islam a religion of peace? Do Christians and Muslims worship the same God? What are the five pillars of Islam? And what does Islam teach about the person and work of Jesus Christ? We'll talk about it next week with Dr. Ergun Kaner on Issues Etc. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of August and into September, click the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at our homepage, be sure to find out more about an international relief agency concerned with both body and soul all around the world, LCMS World Relief. Find out about their efforts. Just look for their logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or you can donate to LCMS World Relief by calling them toll-free, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438, Christ-Centered Cross-Focused Relief, LCMS World Relief. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. Pastor Bender, before the break, you were talking about the two petitions, Hallowed Be Thy Name, Thy Kingdom Come. This third one seems to, in some ways, serve as a summary for all three of the first petitions, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Well, that is exactly right. We don't tend to see it as well in English as perhaps we would if we all read Greek. That third petition, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, structurally is to be appended after both the first and the second petition. So, Hallowed be thy name on earth as it is in heaven, and thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So that in prayer, as Christians, we are taught something that runs quite contrary to our sinful nature, and that is that we are not so much asking that God would do what we will, but rather that he would bend our will to his and teach us to live by faith in what he has promised in his word, hallowed be thy name, that we would trust in this and he would establish his reign in our lives by his word, through faith, thy kingdom come. And we see this third petition prayed by Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. And a lot of people are under the misconception that if they simply believe in something hard enough, and if they pray for something on the basis of what they believe that they want to have happen, and if they have enough faith, then God will do what he says, what they say to him. But thy will be done indicates quite the opposite. We are asking of God that he would not do what our flesh might will, but what is his will. And his will is always good. It is always gracious, even if it contradicts our reason. And that is seen no more clearly than in the death of Jesus. Jesus certainly, in terms of the pain and the suffering and the separation from the Father that he would endure in his death upon the cross, prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But finally, he rests in the Father's gracious will, even though it meant his suffering and death. Not my will, but thine be done. And we're praying the same thing in the third petition.
Pastor Bender, it seems those three first petitions go together in another way, kind of a backhanded way, and that is, they are three things, God's holy name, his kingdom, and his holy will, three things for which we would not pray if left to make up our own prayer rather than this prayer that Christ has given us.
That's right, because so often what drives us to pray are all of the problems and the concerns and the circumstances that affect me, my life. And so when Jesus teaches us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, he turns us outside of ourselves to God the Father, to his holy name, his holy word, what his will is for us, rather than us always fixated upon ourselves.
The next thing that Jesus instructs us to ask for is daily bread. And it's very simple. It's just give us today our daily bread. Is there more to it than that which fills our stomachs every day? I mean, most people realize it goes beyond bread, but is there more to it even than the three square meals that we hope to have each day?
Absolutely. And I wonder, in answering that question, if the listeners would think to themselves, do they pray every single day that God would not only give them food and drink to sustain their bodies, but do they pray every day that God would clothe them, and every day that God would give them shelter, perhaps air conditioning in the sweltering heat, or pray every day that God would keep their car together and that God would make the road safe to drive upon, and so on and so on and so on. Probably if they're honest with themselves, they say, you know, I often don't think about those things, and often days go by without praying specifically for these things. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, God causes his rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. In other words, God gives daily bread to everyone, even without our prayers. So then what are we praying for when we say, give us this day our daily bread? Truly, more than anything else, we're praying that God would teach us to trust in him for what he himself not only has already promised to give us, everything to sustain us in this body and life, but that we learn to trust in him and depend upon him for these things and to receive them with thanksgiving, knowing from whom they come, our good and gracious God.
In connection with that, I'm reminded of some study I did into Luther's thought on this very petition, give us this day our daily bread. And Luther at one point says, you know, you're praying for the farmer and for the milkmaid And for all the people through whom God brings the bread to you, you're praying for the fields and the cattle and the rains and all of these things that we don't normally think about when we just look down and see the bread on our plate. And Luther's point here is that don't you know that God has already put all these things in place even before you've even asked for the bread on the plate? He's already has it well under production and on its way to you.
And that's a keen insight into God's word that Luther observes there. And we're reminded of it again throughout the Lord's Prayer with those plural pronouns, our Father, and give us this day our daily bread. And also in the fifth petition, forgive us our trespasses. The focus is not on the individual self, but on God and on all of the company of people who are involved in the giving and receiving of daily bread in the case of the fourth petition.
With only 30 seconds, is there a finer point to be put upon the word daily, as in daily bread?
Day by day, give us that which we need to support us in this body and life, and that which you promise. Each day, without fail, we pray in the Lord's Prayer for the things that God already promises. And Jesus makes a point of this in his teaching on the Lord's Prayer in Luke chapter 11. Perhaps we'll get a chance to talk about that a little bit when he says, ask, you will receive, seek, you will find, knock, it will be open to you. He's talking about those sure and certain promises that are articulated in each petition of the Lord's Prayer.
Well, we've got a little bit more of the Lord's Prayer to talk about tonight, and then we're going to start taking your phone calls and your email in the next segment of Issues, Etc. So give us a call during this break, 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. And that in-studio email address, feel free to use it, issues@kfuo.org. Everyone with a question or a comment, either via the phone or the email tonight, gets a free pamphlet called What About the Lord's Prayer? 1-800-730-2727 or issues@kfuo.org. When we come back, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is the tough part of the Lord's Prayer. We'll spend some time on that when we come back. Dr. Gene Edward Veith, culture editor for World Magazine, on the value of LCMS World Relief.
Well, you know, whenever I see news of a disaster or a terrorist attack or a natural calamity, I hear that just immediately they're on the front lines of this. And as a Lutheran, I feel so proud about that, not in a boastful way, but I feel happy that Lutherans care about the suffering of others, as our theology teaches us to, that we're to live out our faith in love and service to our neighbors.
LCMS World Relief provides Christ-centered, cross-focused care and concern. For more information, contact them at 314-996-1683 or look for the LCMS World Relief logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths to the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer, visit our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you.
Here are some subjects that are surely of interest to you. Living and dying, what is the church? Church and state, God's grace, faith, the sacraments. Well, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August provides insight into all of these issues from the perspective of Martin Luther. It's titled, Luther's World of Thought. Concordia Publishing House is the publisher. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can read a chapter from Luther's World of Thought on our website, issuesetc.org. How did the social, political, and religious climate of the 16th century influence Martin Luther and the Reformation? Luther's World of Thought begins with Luther's life and times and ends with his death and his legacy. It's a hardcover book. The cost is $29.99 plus shipping and handling. Luther's World of Thought. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. IssuesETC.org or 1-800-325-3040.
This isn't your grandfather's church. God is doing a new thing. Deeds, not creeds. You've heard Christians say things like this. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues Etc. journal titled Things Christians Say But Shouldn't. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. What's wrong with statements like, a church for our generation, be all you can be Christianity, or reinventing church? Find out with the Next Issues Etc. journal. Plus, the Wittenberg Trail feature details Dr. Chris Mitchell's journey from skeptical atheism to the certainty of the gospel. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues Etc. journal. Ask for a free complimentary copy. 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172.
We're talking about the Lord's Prayer tonight on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We do have several resources on the Lord's Prayer posted at our website, issuesetc.org. Right under the What's New section, you'll find these articles, issuesetc.org. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Right before the break, Pastor Bender, you had mentioned Luke 11 and Jesus talking about prayer in general, ask, seek, knock. What was the point you wanted to make there?
Well, that follows right after Jesus answered the disciples' question, Lord, teach us to pray, with the Lord's Prayer. When you pray, say, Our Father. He tells the story of the friend that comes calling at midnight. And then that's followed by the verses, ask, it will be given to you, seek, and you will find. And those particular promises of Jesus are anchored in Jesus' petitions in the Lord's Prayer. In other words, if we pray in faith that God's name be hallowed among us, there is absolutely no doubt that God will do it. If we seek that which he promises in the Lord's Prayer, like forgiveness of sins, as we pray for in the fifth petition, there is absolutely no doubt that that forgiveness is ours. If we pray the Lord's Prayer in faith that he would deliver us from the evil one, there is absolutely no doubt that he will do that. So these particular promises of Jesus, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you, and so forth, are promises that are anchored in the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. They're certainly not promises that, ask for a Cadillac and you will receive it.
Then this fifth petition you just mentioned, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Why does Jesus put it this way, it sounds like a mutual arrangement of forgiveness here.
Well, the emphasis in the Lord's Prayer throughout, as we have been noting, is how it is not simply the prayer of the individual Christian, but the company of Christians who are bound together by faith in the forgiveness of sins from Christ Jesus our Lord. So it is precisely the forgiveness of sins that has made it possible for us to pray, Our Father. It is the forgiveness of sins which, by the word of the gospel, hallows God's name in our lives
and brings his kingdom into our lives. And it is for the sake of believing and trusting in Christ for the forgiveness of sins that God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil that don't want us to receive that forgiveness. And it's often the forgiveness of sins that we doubt when it comes to our daily bread and when we're going through difficult times and so forth. And, of course, forgiveness of sins and our own sinful flesh's reluctance to forgive is something that is at the heart of our relationships with one another. So the whole entire Lord's Prayer rests upon God making us his children by his forgiveness. Therefore, since he freely forgives us for Christ's sake by grace alone, so we too will sincerely forgive and gladly do good to those who sin against us. And so we're asking for that in the Lord's Prayer, that he would not look at our sins, that he'd not deny our prayer because of them. We're not worthy of the things for which we pray. We haven't deserved any of them. But we ask, just as we have in all of the other petitions, that he would give all of these things to us by his grace alone. And therefore, believing that and receiving his grace, that becomes then the engine, if you will, in forgiving those who trespass against us.
The final two petitions kind of link together, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Yes, one of my teachers 20 years ago in college, when he prayed the Lord's Prayer, he made the point of making sure he paused in the right place and didn't say, "and lead us not," but went on, "lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one," if you understand the emphasis there. Of course we want God to lead us, and not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one and to lead us in the ways of his truth and of his salvation and of his righteousness. They do go together. Temptation comes from Satan. It is any word or will or voice that directs us away from God's word and from trusting in him. And Luther had a wonderful way of explaining this by saying that we're praying that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief or despair or other great shame and vice. And although we are attacked by these things, we're praying here that we would overcome them and win the victory. And God promises, again, ask, you will receive. And that petition, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from the evil one, are promises of God before they even become our petitions.
The conclusion, or the so-called conclusion, to the Lord's Prayer is often not prayed, at least in public worship, by a great number of Christians, including Roman Catholics, "for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Why is this?
Well, you will find, "for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever," in certain translations, like the Old King James Bible, for example, at the end of the version of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew's Gospel. And the reason it's found there, and perhaps not in some other translations that are newer, is because that appendage to the Lord's Prayer is found in the majority texts, a group of Greek texts upon which the King James Bible was translated. And some of the older manuscripts don't have that particular phrase. Most scholars seem to be of the opinion that that particular ending to the Lord's Prayer came about as a conclusion to praying the Lord's Prayer in corporate worship in the ancient church. In other words, after the petition, "deliver us from evil," then the congregation would join in giving all glory and praise to God by saying, "for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen," which is a phrase that certainly reflects the theology of both the Old and the New Testaments.
Very briefly, does it make a difference if you don't have this conclusion on the Lord's Prayer?
You can say amen after "deliver us from evil,"
Or you can conclude it with, "For thine is the kingdom," which in a certain sense is an expansion of the Amen, which means, yes, yes, it shall be so. What God wills is good, and to him alone be all honor and glory.
It's Sunday night, August the 6th. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, and our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Up first tonight, our listeners, Paul is in Wisconsin. He's listening on WGNV. Hi, Paul. Thank you for being patient.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Very well.
My question is, how can a person be thinking all of those as they recite the Lord's Prayer? Because there's no way that just repeating the Lord's Prayer is the same as confessing your sins and going to that person then and forsaking your sins. Praying our daily needs, of course, is, I mean, this is all we ought to pray. Praying the Lord's Prayer does not take care of your sins. It doesn't take care of your daily needs. It's just a repetitious thing that's been used in many churches, I believe.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. A commonly held opinion by many Christians that the Lord's Prayer, it, as he said, doesn't take care of the forgiveness of sins or your daily needs. It's just, as some would say, vain repetition. How would you respond?
Well, I appreciate Paul's question. It is one of the reasons, it is precisely because the Lord's Prayer can be prayed without understanding and without faith in what the words mean, that it becomes vain or empty repetition. Vain repetition is repeating words without faith and without understanding. That's why I think, Todd, you're having this program tonight, to open up and make a beginning at helping us understand the words of Jesus in the prayer that he taught us to pray. And so the best way to understand the Lord's Prayer is to, using the vocabulary of the Lord's Prayer itself, dig deeply into what the Scriptures teach about God's name, about God's kingdom, about our daily bread and how he is the provider of it, about the forgiveness of sins and how to deny forgiveness to another is to deny our faith in Christ, and to live by faith in Christ is to live in forgiveness to one another, and so forth. So I would not at all agree with the assertion that the Lord's Prayer doesn't cover all of our needs.
Let's talk more about that on the other side, because the caller said, well, you can't be thinking all of that when you're saying these words. We'll see whether Pastor Bender agrees. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and he's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. He also is a graduate of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. If you've ever thought about becoming a pastor or a deaconess, why not prayerfully consider a visit this fall to Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana? You'll find information at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. 10 more minutes for your phone calls and your email, 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Many Christians understand the theological impact of 16th century Christian reformer Martin Luther. Fewer understand Luther's lasting impact on the world of politics and of thought. Our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is an overview of Luther's life, thought, and work. It's called Luther's World of Thought. You can find this book at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right on the homepage. Or you can call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours and find out more about Luther's World of Thought, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. This hardback book is $29.99 plus shipping and handling. Our website address again, issuesetc.org, and the number for Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040.
Equipping the Priesthood of All Believers. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Noted author and history professor Dr. Paul Meyer on the uniqueness of Issues, Etc.
I'm delighted not only to listen to Issues, Etc., but also to have the privilege of being on the program from time to time. Issues is never afraid to take a stand on the thorny, vexing issues that clutter our daily horizons. And it does so in the name of a solidly based Christianity that doesn't flirt with fads or fantasies. Whereas some Christian programs sidestep ethical and doctrinal questions in our day, Issues takes them head on in a fearless, responsible, thoughtful manner. Both head and heart are involved when Issues applies Holy Scripture.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172.
Well, you can tell if you've listened so far in our conversation with Pastor Peter Bender about the Lord's Prayer how deeply he draws from the wells of Luther's thought on the Lord's Prayer. That's just one of the aspects of our Issues, Etc. book of the month for August called Luther's World of Thought, covering not only his theology, but also Luther's ideas on politics and philosophy and his influence. There are Issues, Etc. book of the month for August, Luther's World of Thought. You can read an excerpt at our website, issuesetc.org, or you can order Luther's World of Thought by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Now, when you order, mention Issues, Etc., and our book of the month for August, Luther's World of Thought, 1-800-325-3040. Before we go on here, the caller before the break reflected a common caution, or maybe a common, I think sometimes it borders on disdain for the Lord's Prayer. And the assertion early in the call was, you can't pray the Lord's Prayer and be thinking of all the things we've been saying here. It really is, by default, if you're praying it, vain repetition. Your response?
Well, my response to that, if it's put in those terms, is to say that it's a direct contradiction of our Lord then, because he specifically instructed us to use these words and to pray them. So to refuse to pray them because they might become vain repetition contradicts what our Lord says. When you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Therefore, if we don't understand the prayer, it is incumbent upon us to meditate upon the text of God's word and the text of this prayer for a deeper understanding and faith in the words of Jesus. Certainly the Lord's Prayer can be prayed not only word for word from the very beginning of the Lord's Prayer to the end, but one can also pause in the midst of praying the petitions to reflect upon their meaning. This is part of the ancient practice of meditation for Christians, which is specifically to contemplate and to think about the Word of God.
We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org, and our call-in number 1-800-730-2727. Randy in Fort Wayne has this question. Could our daily bread be a direct reference to Jesus Christ, who referred to himself as the bread of life? Could it be a direct reference to Jesus Christ's body as he took bread on that pivotal evening before he was crucified? Two good questions there. Pastor Bender.
Absolutely. The Lord's Prayer has traditionally been prayed by Christians since the first centuries in conjunction with the Lord's Supper. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And so when that prayer is prayed in the context of the celebration of the Lord's Supper, then we are praying that we might receive Jesus' body and blood in true faith according to his promise and for the benefits that he gives the supper.
So there's always, at least what I've been gathering here in the last few minutes of our conversation, there is always something deeper in this prayer than first appears to both our reason and our senses.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the nature of God's word. It is rich and it is powerful. Thy kingdom come, as we had indicated, is not only the prayer for faith, but that our Lord would come again and deliver us from this veil of tears.
Let's go back to the phones. Andy in Appleton, Wisconsin, listens on WEMI. Hi, Andy.
Hi there.
What's your question or comment?
The comment that I had is really, when you take the Lord's Prayer out of context, the apostles had just asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And, of course, and Jesus gave them an outline. He's saying, tell us, ask God for this, and this is what he's looking from you. And what I would say to the people who call it vain repetition, that it's really just, it's a beginning. It's a place to start. And he's teaching us how to pray, not this is the only words you can say to pray to God.
All right, Andy, thank you very much. Anything there you disagree with, Pastor Bender?
Well, it, certainly, as I had already indicated, these are not the only words that Christians use in prayer. But I think it's a little bit trivial to consider it merely an outline. I have yet to find a single need from God's point of view articulated in Scripture that we are to have that is not addressed and provided for in the text of the Lord's Prayer. It is simply all there.
Chad calls from Wausau, Wisconsin, listening on WGNV. Hi, Chad.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very well.
Thank you for taking my call. Pastor, thank you for being here. I was just listening to your conversations on the Lord's Prayer, and I was wanting to look back toward when our Lord said, give us this day our daily bread. And when he speaks of that in reference to what you just talked about of Jesus being the bread of life, I'm reminded of the book of Deuteronomy where we are told that man is not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. And I was wondering what your thoughts were as to whether or not Jesus is referring not only to the daily bread that we need to sustain our bodies, but to depending upon him daily to provide for our needs by the words that he commands us to obey.
Thanks, Chad. Pastor Bender.
Well, Chad, that is an excellent point. In fact, the ancient Israelites thought of their Torah, which was the five books of Moses. Torah meant the law, but it included not simply the laws or commands, but all of the promises of God. They thought of that Torah as the word of life, and they thought of themselves as actually eating the Torah. And so in John's Gospel also, Jesus calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, that Torah or way of life. And so, and Jesus in his temptation with the devil quotes that very passage that you mentioned, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that's really where the Lord's Prayer takes us. Every petition takes us deeper and deeper into every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Two quick final questions, 30 seconds each, if you don't mind, Pastor.
Okay.
Does Jesus show us beyond simply the words that we are to pray in this perfect prayer, also the purpose of Christian prayer, prayer in his name itself, with the Lord's Prayer?
Does he show us the purpose of prayer?
The real purpose of what Christian prayer ought to be with the Lord's Prayer.
To direct us outside of ourselves to our Father in heaven and to our Lord Jesus Christ, the source of life and salvation. And any time we are led in our prayers away from him, then they're not true prayers.
And then someone says, look, I haven't prayed it in years. Maybe I know it a little bit, but they might ask, why should I begin in my life of prayer to pray the Lord's Prayer?
Because if you're a Christian, Jesus gave it to Christians as a gift. And if it's his instruction on prayer, and it's the one prayer that he gave us and instructed us to pray, then it seems to me it must be pretty important. And he has important lessons to teach us, which can only be learned by using that prayer, meditating upon the words of that prayer, and allowing that prayer to take us more deeply into his promises throughout the Scriptures.
Folks, here's our mailing address. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Here's our resource line number, 1-800-737-0172. Use either of those to receive a free complimentary copy of our Next Issues Etc. journal, or to make a tax-deductible gift to help the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. No gift is too small. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. So the disciples ask an innocent question of their Lord, teach us to pray. And he gives them the Lord's Prayer. He says, when you pray, say. You can do no better than this. Now, you might think you can do better, but think about that for a moment. Can you improve upon what Jesus Christ himself has given you? He is the way to the Father. He is the one who has reconciled the Father to you by his death and resurrection. He is the one who shows you the Father when he instructs us to pray to our Father in heaven and gives us these, albeit simple, words to pray. I think you can conclude you can do no better than to use the Lord's words when you address your Heavenly Father. These words are full of promise because they are full of Christ himself. They are full of all the things that God has promised to give us, his children, as a Heavenly Father because of his Son, Jesus Christ, who lived and died for us. And so when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are doing nothing more than holding God's promises before him. And believe me, in Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father wants nothing more than to hear us pray those promises, and for the sake of his Son, Jesus, to answer that prayer. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.